We need to make sure that we're not getting our comfort and our security from the situation that we find ourselves in. Because let me tell you, God can change that situation just like that.
Planting churches, preparing leaders, proclaiming the gospel till the whole world hears. This is the Grand Old Gospel Hour.
I'm so excited. Today my mom is taking me to hear him. Everybody says that he's the best speaker they've ever heard. Someone told me that he loves children. I can't wait to see him. Mom says that there's probably going to be a big crowd of people, so I'm not sure if I'll get to meet him. Anyway, I'm ready to go. Mom even packed my lunch. 5 loaves and 2 fishes.
That little boy is going to receive the lesson of a lifetime. Little is much in the Master's hands.
Turn in your Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter 14 as we continue our study through this book, 1 Samuel chapter 14. You heard read the first 23 verses. I'm not going to get that far. We might refer to some of those events, but primarily I want to look at a few things in those first few verses, but you have to have the backdrop of the whole story in mind as we consider what God wants to say to us today. So let's pray and ask for his help. Lord, again, we bow before you and we pray that you would minister to us through your word and by your spirit. And Lord, prepare our hearts to hear from heaven today. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, the late Danny Bell Hall wrote a book, or not a book, a song. She wrote a song entitled Ordinary People. And God uses ordinary people, people just like you and me, to do what he commands. And then she says that in the chorus, she says, little becomes much when it's in the Master's hand. I like that. I like that whole concept, because I believe that a lot of us as Christians, we find ourselves feeling a little bit incapable of doing what God has called us to do. We feel a little insecure about stepping out and doing what God wants us to do, as though we are insufficient in and of ourselves. But I want to tell you, God wants to take your insufficiency and turn it into something beautiful. And I'm glad this is true, because most of us don't have extraordinary gifts that God can use. Most of us don't have super abilities. One of the things I hear often when we're putting together ministry teams for short-term missions, people ask, well, what can I do? You know, I'm just me. What can I do? But God specializes in taking the little that we have to offer and turning it into a lot. And so because we all come to God with that sort of mentality, when we plan from a human perspective for success, we look for gifts, we look for numbers, we look for resources, we look for all of that stuff that we can trust in, those tangible things that we can lean on. But this history lesson that we find in this chapter with Saul and Jonathan and his armor bearers against the Philistines, this history lesson here reminds us that we don't need to have a lot. We don't need to possess a lot. We don't have to have a lot of resources of our own. We don't need a lot of capability of our own. But as Danny Bell Hall sang, our little becomes much when it's in the Master's hand. And so the first thing that I want you to notice out of this text is we see Saul standing there with 600 of his men, it says there in verse 2. I want you to notice that oftentimes we get comfortable with large numbers. We start to begin to feel secure about large numbers. It gives us a sense of security. It's almost like, you know, the gangs in L.A. and Philly. You start to feel powerful when you're walking down the street in large numbers. And they, you know, they cut the stroll and swing the arm and get a little swagger, because they got all their boys around them. And I can just imagine that that's exactly the way Saul began to feel. He's surrounded now with 600 of his closest men, and he's beginning to feel a little powerful. He's beginning to feel a sense of power and security because he's trusting in the numbers. He's trusting in the men. But you remember the story last time when I was in here, we recognized that Saul's numbers looked like a dwarf in light of the number of the Philistines. The Philistines had a much larger number. And so, you know, when you look at numbers, numbers are always relative. And you think you have a crowd with you, but the enemy out there is so much more powerful. And so if you follow the events in various revolutions that are taking place in the Middle East, you'll note that the courage and strength that's felt when large numbers turn out in demonstration, when large numbers hit the street, people begin to feel empowered and they begin to have this sense of invincibility about them until the dictator turns the tanks on them and then they all scatter and run. And so we need to learn not to trust in numbers. And I can imagine that Saul must have felt a little bit of that feeling like, can't touch me now. I got my 600 men and I'm powerful. You can't touch me now. The lesson that we need to learn as we think about the whole story and what took place here is that we need to see that we don't need a crowd when God is on our side. We don't need large numbers when God is on our side. Jesus only had 12 men around him, and he took those 12 men and turned the world upside down. Paul, in the book of Acts, he walked into town, just he and his helper, and turned the world upside down. We don't need large crowds. We need men and women who will commit themselves to giving whatever it is they have and putting it into God's hands and being used by God. And so we need to learn that lesson. We don't need a crowd. We need God on our side. And that's why the world tries to tell you and I as Christians that we're part of a narrow-minded, extreme, fanatical, bigoted group of Christians. Just listen to how they talk about us on the news. If you didn't know that, let me inform you, you are a narrow-minded, bigoted, you know, the kind of person who has no tolerance for anybody else. And that's the message that the world has, because the message that the world has is designed to make you think that you don't really want to identify with Christ. You want to be a part of the big group. You want to be a part of the majority, the reasonable majority that's out there, that's tolerant and that lets anything go. And it has even crept into, and especially I think it's a part of the agenda of the homosexual community, to make us as Christians believe that we are these, you know, Bible-thumping idiots. Just ask your neighbor. What their perception of a Christian is. You know, it's some narrow-minded, you know, bigoted person who has no love. In fact, you know, they have this hate crime speech now that's out there designed to cut out hate crimes. And they decide that the proclamation of the gospel of Jesus Christ and the calling of sin to be sin is hate speech. Did you know that the world and its design is to declare that Romans chapter 1 and 2 is hate speech? And that it should not be allowed. Now, if you think that's only, you know, some kind of fantasy out there that can never happen, just go to the country just north of us, which is Canada. And you know that they passed hate speech already, which they're trying to pass down here. Christians are a little more organized down here than up in Canada. But they didn't have the same stand-up Christian community that resisted it in Canada. Canada has hate speech as their law. And do you know that you cannot declare that homosexuality is a sin in Canada? That is hate speech, and they'll cut it out. They will throw you in jail. Now, you can call the thief a sinner. You can call, you know, anybody else a sinner, but that homosexual has so embedded into their rhetoric and agenda this idea that you can talk about anybody else, but don't talk about this particular sin. And anybody who stands up against it is bigoted and intolerant and has nothing, you know, to contribute to society. And we have swallowed that message as a church. Listen to me now. We have swallowed that message as a church, and it has made you and I so timid in our Christianity that we don't even want to open the door and step out. We don't even want to talk about homosexuality. We'll talk about every other sin out there. We'll call the thief a thief. But we won't call sexual sin what it is because we're scared somebody's going to think I'm narrow-minded. Somebody's going to think I'm a bigot. Somebody's going to think I'm not reasonable. Well, I want to tell you that we don't need large numbers, Monco. And if it comes down to just you, me, and God sitting in a pew one day, I want to tell you we don't need large numbers. We need God on our side. Are you hearing me? And when this story developed, we didn't, you know, well, I'm not going to get into an exposition of all these events, but it turned out that Jonathan only had a jawbone and an armor bearer. That's all he had. And Saul and his 600 men, as futile as that army was, they didn't even have a sense of what God was doing. And Jonathan and his jawbone went up there and won a great victory for God. And so let's not trust in numbers. Let's not lean on numbers. What we need to do is we need to make sure God is on our side. We need to remain faithful to God's word. And if they throw us in jail, let them throw us in jail. Amen. I'm encouraged by that there are some pastors and ministries up there in Canada who are willing to say, if you're going to throw me in jail, throw me in jail. But I'm preaching the whole counsel of God. Amen. Amen. And so we have a tendency to get comfortable in large numbers. The second thing that I want you to see is that we get comfortable with religious rituals. We get comfortable with religious rituals. Look at verse 3. Ahijah, the son of Ahitub, Ichabod's brother, the son of Phinehas, the son of Eli, the Lord's priest in Shiloh, was wearing an ephod. But the people did not know that Jonathan had gone. Now, this is very interesting. Well, first of all, it's interesting that this piece of information gets thrown into the story. It's interesting here that we, in the middle of this story developing of Jonathan and his armor bearer going off to win this great victory, that we get this information that the priest was there and that the priest had on his ephod and was doing all his religious stuff. And what's interesting about it, not only is it interesting that it was included in the story, but if you remember, Eli's family, that priestly line that of priests, they weren't all that great. You remember the story. These were not men of integrity.
That's right.
These were not men that were walking after God. They were just filling a religious role. And guess what? There are a lot of people who felt comfort just in the fact that there was this religious role being filled. And they didn't even have a sense of what God was doing. Jonathan and his armor bearer had already left the camp. God was doing something else totally while they're in there waving their incense and doing whatever else they're doing. Let me tell you something. There is a big difference between religious activity and being in the presence and power of God. And what we need is not religious ritual. What we need is the blessing of God on our side. And, you know, before you get too hard on these guys, just let's just bring it home a little bit. Because I think that what we have here in the United States, not at Monco Bible Fellowship, but what we have here in the United States is a lot of people who rely on religious trappings, who rely on religious activity. And so I've got to go to church because, you know, that's going to provide some blessing for me. We look for the ministers to do certain things for us as though that's going to provide victory for us. Most people find comfort in the blessings of the clergy, the rituals of the church. I want the preacher to bless my baby. I want the preacher to bless my house. I want the preacher to wave some incense around. Now, I'm not knocking any of those things. In fact, one of my joys in ministry is to bless the baby. We're told to do it. I love to go, and just yesterday we prayed at Linda's house and at her housewarming. I think it's a wonderful thing to do, to bless somebody's house. So I'm not knocking any of those things. But be clear now. Let's understand there is a big world of difference between going through some religious ritual and experiencing the blessings and power of God. There is a world of difference between having some minister, you know, wave something in front of your face and experiencing the power of God in your life. And so we should never be comfortable and settle for some religious ritual. We should never be comfortable and settle for having gone through some religious activity. We need to make sure that the Spirit of God is active and living and powerful in our lives. And that's where Saul needed to be. I believe that's where Jonathan and his armor bearer were. And so they weren't comfortable with religious rituals. You know, you don't find in the text that Jonathan was seeking out those religious activities. He was sensitive to what God had wanted him to do. And so you can feel good about going to church, but is your life in the Master's hand? You can get anointed with oil, but are you filled with the Spirit? You can read your Bible and pray all day and all night, but have you surrendered your will to God? Don't get quiet now, because there are a whole lot of us that we go through the motions of being a Christian, but have we ever surrendered our will to God? God doesn't need all the trappings of the church. Your little doesn't have to pass through some ritual in order to become much. Your little becomes much when it's put in the Master's hand. Look at verse 4. Sometimes we get comfortable in what seems like a safe situation. In verse 4, Jonathan and his armor bearer had gone. And as they were traveling toward the Philistines, between the passes by which Jonathan sought to go over to the Philistines' garrison, there was a sharp rock on one side and a sharp rock on the other side. It's almost like they were walking in a pass with a big cliff on one side and a sharp cliff on the other side. And that pass that they went through with the sharp rock and cliff on either side provided protection for them, so that as they walked through that pass, the Philistines didn't see them coming, and the Philistines, even if they saw them coming, had no way of getting down to them. And so there was, in this path that they were walking on, there was protection for them. And so it provided what seemed like a safe situation. When they decided to sneak off with the armor bearer and go fight the Philistines, he found himself protected on both sides. Now, the two names of these cliffs, Bozez and Senna, were the name of the rocks that formed these natural barriers and protection for them. And so I looked up the names to see if there was any significance, and it seems like there's a lot of difference of opinion, so I'm just going to leave that alone and not draw any conclusions there. But these rocks, that they for Jonathan and his armor bearer, they gave him a sense of security in the path that he was following, and that was the situation that they found themselves in. And there's sometimes when our situation just seems to provide the protection that we need. There are times as we walk through life, there are times as we walk through the course of our days, that the very situation that we find ourselves in seems to provide protection for us. And that's what happened here. They had that sense of security that comes from following the path. Let me tell you something. The worst thing that you can do is to conclude that we must be doing everything right and that nothing can touch us now because there seems to be security on the path that we're following. All right. Amen. We need to make sure that we're not getting our comfort and our security from the situation that we find ourselves in. Because let me tell you, God can change that situation just like that. You think that the money you've got saved up in the bank is providing some sense of security? God can change that just like that. You think that because you've been taking your 500 milligrams every morning that, you know, you're healthy and strong and nothing can touch you now? God can change it just like that. Just one quick accident and all that vitamin C is not going to help. Amen. So we can't afford to find comfort in the situation that we find ourselves in. You might have, you know, tenure on the job. You might feel as though you have a lot of security in your position. You might be the one that hires and fires. You might have a position that seemingly is secure. But I want to tell you, you can't find security in your situation.
Dr. Hart will be back in just a moment, but first we have a new book offer we'd like to share with you. What is the Mission of the Church by Kevin DeYoung and Greg Gilbert takes a deep dive and a balanced look into the mission of the church and question whether or not we're all headed in the same direction. It's yours for a donation of any amount, and if you'll become a monthly financial supporter, we will also send you a handsome golf shirt monogrammed with our GOGF logo. Our announcer, Sheila King, will give you our contact information at the close of today's program. Once again, here's Dr. Hart.
You may feel secure on the path of your life. The protected cliffs of family and friends might surround you as you travel through your days, but don't settle for the safety of your situation. Give your situation to God. Trust in Him. That your little becomes much when it's placed in the master's hand. And then lastly, I want you to see that we should only feel comfortable when we know that God is with us. Look at verse 6. Then Jonathan said to the young man who bore his armor, "Come, let us go over to the garrison of these uncircumcised. It may be that the Lord will work for us, for nothing restrains the Lord from saving by many or by few." You know, Jonathan's instruction to his armor bearer was very informative. And it reminds us that we should not feel comfortable until we know that God is with us. Jonathan didn't look to the 600 men that were with his father. Jonathan didn't look to the priest or to the church. He wasn't concerned about the outward trappings of religion. Jonathan didn't rehearse the advantages of the path that he was on, with or without the cliffs, to protect him. Jonathan was encouraged to move forward because he said, and he concluded, that nothing can stop the Lord. Nothing can restrain the Lord. And I want to tell you that I don't care what the enemy is presenting to you in your life. It doesn't matter what the situation is that you might be going through. It doesn't matter what the circumstance might be. Nothing can tie God's hands. Nothing can stop him from executing his will in your life. And so what we need to do is we need to give the situation to God. We need to find comfort in the fact that God is with us. Jonathan didn't rehearse the advantages of the path he was on. He rehearsed the qualities of Almighty God. And he remembered that. Jonathan was encouraged to go and fight because he believed that the Lord would bless them and that nothing restrains the Lord. You know that there's no army too big for God. Amen. You know, when we read stories like Jonathan and a jawbone killing all those Philistines, from a human perspective, you read the story and you say, wow, that doesn't sound even reasonable. And guess what? It's not reasonable. It's a miracle. That's what a miracle is. A miracle is not reasonable. It's when God moves outside of the realm of normal possibility. He steps out of the laws of nature and he acts. And that's what a miracle is. And that's what Jonathan experienced. Not because the priest back under the tree with Saul waved some incense around. Not because there were 600 men. Those men were probably still sleeping. They didn't even know what God was up to. Not because of anything else that was going on, but simply because Jonathan trusted in God and he gave his situation to God and God moved mightily on his behalf. I want to tell you that it happens not just for Jonathan, but it can happen for you and I today. And so there's no army that's too big for God today, no enemy too fierce, no obstacle, but that God can't take it down. And all God needed was an obedient Jonathan. He didn't even need the help of his armor bearer. That's right. All he needed was to trust in God. And so there are many times that we feel limited and small. And so we never step out and attempt great things for God when all God is waiting for is for us to trust him and to step out with him.
We trust that you've been blessed and encouraged by today's program, and we thank you for listening. Your partnership with this ministry is appreciated and greatly needed to help us with our mission to plant churches, prepare leaders, and to proclaim the gospel. Please let us know that you will stand with us. Remember to ask for the thank you gift as you make your donation, and let us know how we can pray for you. You can reach us at GOGF Ministries, 158 East Main Street, Lansdale, PA, 19446. Our online address is www.gogfministries.org. Our office phone number is 215-361-8111. For Dr. Tony Hart, our producer, Pastor Sam Butler, and all of us here at the GOGF, I'm Sheila King reminding you that the measure of God's love is that he loves without measure.